Hey, whores. You know, when you hear me before the ads, that's usually not a good sign. Got some not great news. Megan and I broke up on Sunday night. Something that was a long time coming. It was mutual, amicable. It seems like we were both feeling some very similar things separately. And for the first time, we really let that air out. Things had gotten kind of platonic over the last several months. The intimacy, the romance, the butterflies. Haven't really been there for a minute. And we had like a really honest conversation about where we were at and where we'd been recently. We broke up. And I'm really grateful that our relationship didn't end, as an altercation. Like, there wasn't an event. There's no like, well, what happened? It wasn't a singular thing that happened and then we break up. It's not like we were both holding on to things and then something sparked it and then, okay, well, now here's the excuse to break up. It can feel weird ending a relationship that doesn't feel like a bad relationship. Megan's not a bad girlfriend. I was not a bad boyfriend, she assures me. The relationship itself wasn't necessarily bad, but it just stopped being great romantically. There was a lot of I love yous. A lot of saying we want each other in each other's lives. There was a lot of silence, staring at each other with tears running down our faces, acknowledging that something has to end, even though no one did anything wrong. It's just sad. But the breakup was led by love, and how many people get to say that? You know? So, just giving y'all whoreheads an update. I'm just gonna be sad for a little bit. I really just want a fucking hug. The one thing I really want is to just like get together with one of my friends and then to do the typical friend breakup shit where they're like, hey, it's gonna be okay. You're gonna be all right. It'll get better. And here's a big fucking hug. And I can't ask that of my friends these days. And that really sucks. I know things will be all right sooner than I expect. And I know this is what I thought needed to happen anyway, but still sad. And I'm just sharing some sadness with you. And now I think we have to transition into a swinger lifestyle website ad read. And then I'll record an intro separate to this. So I'll be in a different, more lively headspace at least. So I can bring you a goddamn show. Where's that intro music? The Man Whore Podcast is sponsored by Alt Playground. APG is more than just a place to find couples to swap with. Alt Playground is a lifestyle community for all non-monogamous and sexually adventurous people to connect and share. And you know I started a profile. Join me over at altplayground.net. That's altplayground.net. It's the vibrator that has no equal. And now, Motor Bunny offers their thrusting sex machine, the Motor Bunny Buck. Enjoy a fan whore discount at manwhorepod.com/motorbunny or use promo code manwhore at checkout.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Now let's get to the show.
Welcome to the Man Whore Podcast.
Whoa, look, guys, I'm okay. It's the next day and I'm already feeling kind of numb, which I think is an improvement in breakups, right? This is Billy Presida. I'm now single. This is the Man Whore Podcast. Hi, hello. Wow, you know, even without the breakup message, there was, you know, some shit happened since I last talked to everybody. You know, it's Chinatown, Jake. I finally learned what that meant. I've tried to finish the movie Chinatown six, seven times. I always fall asleep somehow. I never was like, oh, this is bad. I'm going to go to sleep. I just always fall asleep. And then I finally finished the film over the weekend. And I was like, oh, no, that describes how I'm supposed to feel about all this. Like, can't really do much about it. Keep your head above water, Jake. This week on the podcast, everybody, Jesse Sage, fellow podcaster, the co-founder and managing editor of Peep Show Media. She's also a professional hottie on the internet. We'll talk about her in a little bit. But first, folks, do you like hearing me on this podcast? Oh, then you'll love hearing me on other podcasts. And most recently, I was on a show called Love About Town. You can listen to that podcast wherever you listen to me. We talked a lot about glory holes, and I think I helped one of the co-hosts begin the planning for her first ever spit roast. She seemed, she had some questions. I think I helped out. I'm hoping she's double stuffed by the end of the season. You know, go you, Kenise. And yeah, so go check that out. It was pretty fun. And you know what else is fun? Winning free money, which you can do. Oh yeah, I'm giving away a free $100 Amazon gift card or a $100 gift card to the local business of your choosing. I'm giving out $100 to one random fan at the end of the month. All you have to do is share the podcast on Instagram and tag me, your boy, at Billy Is Presida. Share it, tag me in it, you're in. If you have like a private profile where I won't be able to see your tag, send me a screenshot of you posting it, and that'll count too. And then at the end of January, I'm going to pick one random person. So you want $100? Share the Man Whore Podcast in your Instagram story. How about that? As a reward for getting through my droning earlier, everybody, I'm going to get to this week's guest even sooner. So we're going to do a real quick fan whore appreciation moment. You know, I want to say thank you right now to Michelle in the UK, who is, by the way, an actual model. Yowza. I just wanted to say gracias. I wanted to say spiciba. I wanted to say thank you, because apparently those are the languages you speak. Thank you in each for being a member and supporting this podcast, Michelle. And you too can become a member, support the pod you love, and gain access to a whole slew of bonus content when you become a member of our Patreon community. Membership begins at just $2. Just $2. If there was ever a time to support an independent content creator that you love, I mean, now is like a real good time. Become a member today at patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. That's Patreon, patreon.com/need-to-make-a-car-payment. No, I'm just kidding. Man Whore Podcast. Okay, I'm feeling silly because the alternative is feeling sad. Everybody, Jesse Sage, it's. I am fine because, like, we both sensed this was going in that direction, and so I can't speak to like what she was doing with herself, but like I've been mentally prepared for a breakup for, you know, since I was all ominous and weird back around Christmas. So I'm going to be okay. I just might make sad jokes on Twitter. And folks, people, if I know I'm not very funny. So I know when I say that I'm a comedian, I think sometimes y'all forget that. And so I will tweet like jokes that very clearly have a structure
There's like a setup and there's a punchline, and I will get like 2 likes and 7 replies asking me if I'm okay. But when, you know, I made like 1 breakup tweet that I thought was funny, and then I got so many replies that I basically got ratioed, but I didn't get ratioed because, like, I said something bad. I got ratioed because people were on to give me a hug, which I thought was sweet, but I'm like, just hit retweet. I will validate my career choice, please. Because then what you do is then I'll stop crying because of a breakup, and then I will start crying because I'll be like, am I not funny? I don't know. No one seems to have the heart to tell me. What am I doing? Can you see, this is why I don't record when I'm baby stoned. You take one hit, think, now I'll be good, I'll be fine, I will feel relaxed, and then you do what I just did. When most of you are like, come on, clown, give us the lady, please, and I'll give her to you. Jessie Sage, everybody. You heard her last year on episode 302. She did a little segment about phone sex, because she is a phone sex operator, among many other things. She wears many sex worker hats because she just loves to over sex work herself. She's really working on that sex work life balance, right? Okay, how many more of those can I write? She's really sex working 9 to 5. Cam, you feel it? Nope, that's that one. That's not okay. Puns are unacceptable like that. Okay. Jessie Sage is the co-founder and managing editor of Peep Show Media. And they, within Peep Show Media, they do have the Peep Show podcast. And they like to feature news and stories from all around the sex industry. She's also a sex worker herself and writer. You might have seen her work in The Washington Post, Vice, Men's Health, Hustler, etc. Jessie Sage and I had a really great conversation catching up about, you know, sex work during quarantine. This is a great one. Really fun. Love Jessie. She's great. If you dug her, we're doing a bonus episode on Patreon that comes out tomorrow for all of my $5 and up members. But for now, let's do a little ad read and get to Jessie Sage. At some point, I'm going to feel less sad, and I'm going to want to go connect with some like-minded folks, some fellow sex-positive perverts, some swingers who like to have a good time, and maybe, you know, start mapping out people to see. Once I get that sweet, sweet shot in my arm. And that's why I love that I am sponsored by altplayground.net. Yeah, the lifestyle site to go for your next non-monogamous adventure. And what I love, you know, I never really was into the lifestyle sites before because they were primarily populated by swingers. And nothing against swingers. It's just like a different culture than I'm personally used to. And something that was really important, the thing that sold me on taking this long-term sponsorship with APG was, you know, I talked to one of the guys in charge, and he's like, we don't want this just be a swinger site. We want this to be a lifestyle resource, and we want to bring together all these different types of non-monogamy, the swingers, the hot wifers, the poly people, the non-monogamous slutty folks, you know, all of that stuff. So you know I've got a profile over at altplayground.net, and I think you should too. Because, hey, those vaccines, they're coming soon. And as soon as they come, you're going to want to come with somebody. And I think you can find that with a membership at altplayground.net. That's altplayground.net. Now let's get to the show.
We go to AVN and we go to XBiz, and so we'll do interviews there with people. But for the most part, like the whole history of our podcast, we've mostly done virtual interviews. And so it's not that much different. The only thing I think that's different is the change in the way that we've been talking is the change in the way that we've been talking and what we've been talking about, because the pandemic has has changed our industry so much that, you know, that I think that what people are feeling and what they're thinking and how they're working has changed a lot. But in terms of just our production, it's the same, because we did the majority of our episodes virtually anyways. We have, though, I mean, the biggest change for us has been that we've transitioned into having to starting a magazine online, and including a lot of like articles and writing and other multimedia things. And so the podcast itself has expanded out like way beyond the podcast into a magazine. And so that's kind of been the COVID project that we've been working on. So that's been a little it's been a little overwhelming. It's turned into an entire business. You know, our little podcast that we did is now a magazine, and that's a whole different thing.
And you were writing, you had like a column in a paper, and you were writing for other places. Are you just like writing mostly now for your own site?
No, I mean, yes, I am doing that. But what I'm doing now is like doing more editorial stuff and having other people write for us. And then I've also still been writing. I've still been writing my column. It's now syndicated out of our magazine instead of, you know, it being at a paper. And so I switched papers in Pittsburgh. It's now like my own column. And there's a Pittsburgh paper that picks it up. And then there's also a like little online magazine in the Northeast that publishes it as well. So like that's turned into my column that that Peep Show owns. So that's been kind of cool. And then I've written like a handful of articles for Hustler. Which was really actually fun because they're like a little sexier, like a little more erotic than what I was writing for the newspaper. So that was kind of fun.
I mean, it is Hustler.
So. Yeah. So like I wrote about the anal that we had on our wedding night in graphic detail. And I wrote about foreplay and talked a little bit about like sexy time that we got into foreplay. And then I also wrote one about camming and how to be a good cam customer, actually, how to get like what you want out of camming as a customer. So I did those projects in the last couple of months. I just came out with an article for Stoya's magazine, Zero Spaces. It came out this week. I wrote about empowerment and interviewed 5 different sex workers on whether they find sex work empowering or whether that's a dumb question. So I've been doing a lot of different writing projects.
So your content creation hasn't really changed too much in terms of like productivity.
Actually, it's been like, I feel like COVID has created this space in a way. I mean, it's not a good thing, and I wouldn't say that there's anything great about COVID, but I do think that there's a way in which sometimes limits like foster more creativity because you have to learn to play like within bounds, and so within different sorts of bounds. And so I feel like for a lot of people, a lot of creative people, and I don't know if you've had, you know, a similar experience, have had to do things slightly differently than what they did before. And it's kind of shaking things up a little bit. And that's not a bad thing. You know, yeah. Shaking things up isn't a bad thing.
I mean, like what an age and time to finally have a glory hole in your home, right? Like that's, if there was a time, and I'm sure my audience at this point is tired of hearing about my glory hole, but like, yeah.
Do you have a glory hole in your house?
The time has fostered sexual creativity. it's been surprisingly a hit.
Wow. So tell me about this. So do you have people that like show up on the other side of the wall?
I mean,
they don't live at your house. That's the point of the glory hole.
Oh, right. No, this isn't like a sexual communication between me and the upstairs neighbor. It's not like, hey, just come on downstairs when you're ready. I put, the New York City Department of Health, as well as other departments of health, you know, recommended glory holes for COVID.
I saw that. Yeah. Yeah.
And I've been putting up ads on like Reddit since August because my new apartment is just set up very nicely to have a glory hole because I have a separate entrance to the street than like upstairs at the front door. I have a long hallway until you reach the bedroom space. So like there's like a good spot to like hang it. And mine's a curtain with a hole cut out. It's not very high tech, but I'll put ads on
so
Reddit.
So it's not actually really, and people will show up?
Yeah, and they've been surprisingly all women so far. It's like
really?
Through one way or another, I figured that out. And that's also the surprise because I think there's been like a half dozen or so people. So you just would have assumed at one point one guy would have tricked me and I'd have to just be like, good job.
I would have assumed it would all be men. That's so interesting to me. Like, I would never answer this ad, like, in a million years.
You would never go suck never. A stranger's dick? No?
Never.
Not even for content.
No, because it wouldn't really fit my brand. But like, yeah, I don't know. I know because I work on Night Flirt, and lots of people call me and talk to me about like glory holes and things. But a lot of them are people who've like been part of like the back of the sex store like community where like there is glory holes, and so they'll like call and talk to me about those sorts of experiences. So I know it's like a subculture and that a lot of people are into it, but like I don't know. Well, I don't think I like sucking dick enough to do it, honestly.
That's fair. I have been trying to figure out a way to like creatively set up like a giving oral situation where like I could set it up for a woman to come in and set herself up nicely, and then like I can kind of semi-safely go down on her anonymously, because for me a big part of it's the like stranger play aspect.
Yeah, there's a so PJ and I have been a lot of times to this sex club that's in Pittsburgh, and they have one of those. So what they have is, it looks like, you know, those like magician boxes where they like cut the ladies in half, you know, like what that looks like. It kind of looks like that, where it's like this big box and you get in it, but then there's like a hole in it, and then there's a place to like kind of stirrups outside of the box to put your feet. And so it's set up to be just like that. So you can't see like what's going on, and you're laying like encased inside of it.
I'm thinking like I may have to, if I can set something up like utilizing the bed space and lots of like curtains and like Chinese walls, I feel like I could rig something up. So I'm down to do it in the reverse way, because sometimes someone will like answer my ad, and then they'll be like, "What, you just want to get a blowjob?" I'm like, "I don't know. You pitch me your alternative. I'm trying to stay somewhat COVID responsible here."
Right. Yeah.
I was like, I'm not just trying to get blown because I'm selfish. Like I'm a huge regular at Random Acts of Muff Dive. It's just, it's not that time.
Right.
But what I have found interesting is like, there was a fan of the show who was able to utilize the glory hole so that I wouldn't know who she was.
Whoa.
There is a woman who wanted like a human.
Have you talked about it on the show? So like people kind of knew to look for it?
No, it just so happened that like when she answered the ad, she was like, "I'm a fan of the show."
Wow, that's cool.
Which of course makes me go like, "Oh, well, you're at the front of the list of one person." So yes, you. No,
yeah.
But there's that element of like, "Oh, I could be walking anywhere in Queens and it could be her." And then there's one who wanted like some humiliation DS dynamic to it. So like her character is like, she is a mouth. She is like my mouth, and that's just all she is utilized as. And so we have like that sort of a DS thing going on. And we've gotten creative like doing that like in a park and other places where we're maintaining that I do not know what she looks like. And then there was one that was real interesting. There was a lesbian who hit me up, and she says,
"Really?
I've never had dick before, and I really want to try sucking dick, but like I am not into men, and I kind of want to be able to like," she was like, "How much are you going to talk during this?" That was like the first question.
Yeah. She's like, "Because I don't want to hear it. Just like be quiet,
right,
and let me suck your dick."
Basically, like literally wanted to objectify me. She was like, "I just need you to be a dick, and I need you to not have to, like, I don't want to be reminded that this is attached to a man."
Yeah.
So we did that. And then like, I've never heard someone spit cum louder than a lesbian who has never touched a dick before.
Yeah, really, that was really her first time.
It was, you know, it was it was definitely her first time. Someone asked me like, "Was it good?" And I'm like, "That's not important. This was her first time sucking a dick. That we're not putting
well, I mean, she got you to the end, so it must not have been too bad."
But you know, most blowjobs, I feel like, you know, even a bad blowjob, like you'll probably finish unless it's like painful. That's my experience. Unless I mentally snap out of it, I feel like even a bad blowjob is adequate.
I don't know. I've never had a blowjob, so I can't comment on that. But
but like, I thought it was really cool that she wanted to like utilize a glory hole to like test being with men without like the man part of it.
And I get that. Yeah,
I do think that by the end she confirmed that she's good. I don't think she's gonna do that again.
I said, well, you know, that's a safe way to explore that.
Yeah, yeah. So so it's been like it's been a fun ride. Have you had to get sexually creative during quarantine?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you know, I have a partner that lives with me. So like that's all pretty much like similar. I think the things that have been harder for us is that we haven't been able to go like and play with other people or like go out and be like kind of exhibitionist or do any of that stuff that's like fun and exciting. So it's just been like the two of us, but which is good
with my partner. This situational monogamy, hasn't that been weird for everybody?
Yeah, I think it really has for all the people who are, you know. And so it was fine for a long time, and then suddenly I think both of us are like itching a little bit, like, you know, wouldn't it be nice to, you know, get out, feel somebody else's like sexual energy for a little bit. Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's been like that part has been, you know, pretty normal. I think that, you know, in terms for me, like for work, I feel like clients have been like different during quarantine in the sense that, like, you know, obviously like no in-person stuff right now. Cause I can't, you know, PJ had chemo right before it started. So we've been like very careful about COVID. But, you know, in terms of like my phone sex clients or my like Skype clients and stuff, I think that a lot of people have either been like super like pent up and horny, or they've been like depressed and like more lonely and just want to talk. I mean, it's been like kind of a different feeling, I think. And that's also changed like throughout quarantine and throughout like people's experience of it. So it's been kind of a weird time all around. I think, yeah, I don't know. I have like a new like sexting friend.
Oh, so do tell.
That's I don't know if I should say anything about this.
can you share like the origin of said sexting friend? Is this someone who was a friend before and then became a sexting friend?
No, it's only been a sexting friend. I've never met this friend in real person, in real life. And and you know, it's funny because I think because I do this, I guess has been a little bit different. I think because I do so much of this as a job, like sexting seems like a job to me. It doesn't seem like super fun, except for some reason, maybe because I don't have any other like outlets. Like this person and I started talking on Tinder and we like totally hit it off. And then he became like a sexting friend to me, and it's been very sexy. It's been very sexy.
now when,
very fun.
Right. And I think a lot of people have been picking up sexting partners or like virtual sex friends, you know, kind of anywhere around the country or whatnot, because they're not meeting up with people, or they're you know, sexting people who live in the other borough. Do you two, is this person like somewhat local to you? Or is this a...
Yeah, like 45 minutes away or something, but I've never met him.
Right.
So like in real life.
I'm curious about is if the sexting ever is interwoven with like talks of potentially meet it up, or do y'all let it be exactly what it is?
No, I mean, we have talked about that. But the thing is, you know, because both of us are married, but also like in open relationships, I think we've both been like, listen, we can't do this right now because we have like... not a duty, but like a responsibility to our partners and our kids and the people that we live in a house with and are like quarantined with, to not do like dangerous, you know, things or things that like put anybody else like at risk of COVID or exposure or anything like that. So we're both just kind of like, well, let's just like see how this goes. And maybe when we have the vaccine, we could like meet somewhere halfway between where we live. I don't know. There's no plan, really. Mm-hmm. It's just like, yeah, I think it's not out of the question to think about doing something like once we have vaccines. But right now it's just kind of a text thing, a little text thing that kind of makes me a little bit fluttery.
Yeah, you've got it seems like you got a little bit of feels going on.
Yeah, well, not like feels, but yeah. But it's been fun. It's been fun to just like enter into something that's just kind of fun and cute, you know?
Yeah, and it also allows you kind of like prolong that like new energy that something can have.
Because like you still haven't had the meetup yet.
Right. Like what if that's, you know, what if it's just flat and like no, because I've had that before, like in past relationships where like, or past interactions or whatever, where it's like could be super hot and heavy online and then you meet them and you're like, like there's no chemistry there, you know, and then it's kind of a bummer because your whole like sexting relationship is then over, you know, because you've realized that you don't actually aren't really attracted to each other in real life. So I don't know. You're right. I think this has been kind of fun because you don't actually know. It's like the not knowing that makes it kind of fun, you know.
Now, as someone who like sex and does phone sex and cams and such for a living, you know, do you kind of hold your sexting partner, whether it's this person or others, do you kind of hold them to a higher standard for you to be able to enjoy it?
Well, you know what? The thing that I thought was really interesting about it, because I haven't had like a sexting partner for a super long time. And I think it's because I was doing that for a living, you know, and so I didn't, it felt like work to me, you know, and except I wasn't getting paid. So there was something that like annoyed me about it. But I think because we are in this like odd space, it suddenly like clicked in a way that it hasn't. And I think that it feels very like, it feels different to me because it feels much more, reciprocal, maybe is a way to say it. Like there's a asymmetry to like sex worker client relationships, and there's supposed to be one, you know, like that's not a negative thing. It's just that like you have a little bit different boundaries and you share maybe a little bit less about your personal life for safety reasons or just for like, because it breaks up that sort of like client.
There's also like a prioritization of someone's pleasure of like whose wants and needs.
Yeah, you know, and it's like when I'm working, it's like much more of a service that I'm providing. So what I'm thinking is like what is it that they are looking for? What are they telling me? And then maybe what are they not telling me that like I can just kind of pick up from like what they're trying to get at, and how could I best like meet that need? And this doesn't feel like that because I'm not going into it thinking like, what does he want? I need to figure out like how to give this to him in order to like make him a happy customer or have him coming back, or all the things that are like wrapped up in business aren't like necessarily part of a, you know, a relationship that's not a transactional relationship, I guess is what I could say, you know. And I feel like a little uncomfortable talking about this like this only because I don't want to suggest like in any way that like the relationships that sex workers have with their clients aren't real, or that like we don't have like affection for them, because
but they're just different. They're not romantic.
They're just different. They're different kinds of relationships. Yeah.
And what can be so confusing, you know, to really anyone on whichever side of it you're on, is that it is supposed to sometimes even mimic a romantic. It's supposed to feel or like allude to those feelings, but not be those feelings, which of course like can get so many people into so many pickles, as one might
say. Yeah. And I mean, that's when you know that you've done something well. You know, I was recently like writing about this for a project, a bigger project that I'm working on. And one of the things that I was talking about is that how I've had clients who've said like in the middle of our like interactions or whatever, who've said, you know, told me that they loved me. And like, I knew that I was actually playing a part of like their late wife, or, you know, like a really, you know, I was playing a part for them, you know, and I would know that like, you know, some people have bad boundaries, but for the most part, like those didn't feel like bad boundaries. It felt like I've done a good job in here because they've been allowed to express feelings that they like want to express. And those aren't about me. Those are about them wanting to be able to relive something or be able to fantasize about something and like really get into the fantasy and really get into the experience. But it's like you said, it's like mimicking, or it's like I'm in proxy. I'm, you know, playing a part of somebody else that's in their life, or
they're not
a fantasy
truly
that
loving
they have.
You, but they're like feeling like they love you. In kind of,
yeah,
like, and so long
yeah.
as they can keep that feeling like within the confines of a session or whatever, or within actual reality, you know, what harm has that caused?
Right, that's what I think. And it's only when you start to get like confused about what that means, I think it becomes a problem. But you're right. If it's to me, I know everybody's different about this stuff. And some people who are sex workers really don't like this. But for me, if I can usually feel out where they're coming from, and if it's like within the bounds of the session or of whatever it is that we're doing, that's fine, because I think that people do come to sex workers in order to feel the things that they want to feel, in order to have the experiences that they want to have. And we're like here to give those to them. So yeah, but all that to say, that feels very different to me than, you know, that can also feel like beautiful and really great, but it feels very different than building some sort of like relationship with somebody that's not about sex work, that's just about like getting to know somebody and the kind of newness or the new relationship energy that you can get out of that.
Yeah. And someone who like wants to please you and they want to get you off, and they don't want to like please you and get you off because you're this like sex worker that they've put on this pedestal, but because it's a person right. like they've actually connected with.
Right. And that's very different. And like, I think that you're very right to like bring that up, because often I'll say that like the thing that I like the least is when like clients are like, I want to give you whatever you want. And I'm like, but that doesn't make any sense, because like, I'm not here.
I got the money. I got what I wanted.
Yeah. Just tell me what you want and I'll just give it to you, because like, this isn't about like my desires. I didn't initiate this like, you know, interaction. And so, yeah, but it is different, because if you're, I don't know, in your own like personal life, you do want to like have somebody who's interested in giving you pleasure and being there for you and in whatever way that makes sense, given the like type of relationship it is.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you've got like a new partner who's making you glow so much.
Yeah. Now I'm really embarrassed that I said anything about it. You're the first person that I've told this to.
Aww, thank you.
Well, like PJ knows about it. You know, I'm not like hiding this, but I haven't had any reason to like tell this story up until this moment. So.
Yeah. You're just like, can somebody have me on a podcast? I would love to gush about this. I would love to gush about this like I'm in high school again, because.
Exactly. But I'm just in my house and nobody ever comes here, so I don't have anything to. Yeah. Can't really go on Twitter and talk about it. It's like not a great, you know, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, I hope. And how long has that been going on?
I don't even know. Maybe like a month or something.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't remember when it started. So.
And does the whole like situational monogamy kind of, has that elicited any like odd or unfamiliar feelings over the past, you know, whatever many months? Like, as part of you thought like, I could kind of do this.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say that, like, for the most part, I haven't thought it was too bad or too, you know, I wasn't like itching to get out or to do anything really. It's only been recently that like this thing started and PJ started flirting with somebody a little bit. And, you know, we started like fantasizing, even like in, you know, in bed together, like fantasizing like, oh, wouldn't this be hot if like somebody was here doing X, Y, and Z? Because often like our dirty talk will include like a third person and like what they would do. And, probably mostly for me, because like I'm into that. Like I'm into the fantasy of like being like the center of this like adoration. So yeah, I mean, I think there's been a little bit of that, but for the most part, I don't find it too like difficult. And probably that's because I also like am really into my partner and he like does it for me. And so I kind of miss women though, you know, I haven't been with a woman in like a year. Yeah. So
I hope that for you. So, and I think much of your followers on the internet hope for that for you too. And yeah, I'm sure they also hope that there's a camera around and it's.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Sometimes I look at like my sales on Minivids and I'm like, oh, people like it, you know, when I play with my friends, I need to get back into that.
Yeah. And, is it still like for like, for PJ reasons, is it still like highly unsafe to even attempt some sort of a meeting up with a third?
No, I don't think so. Now it's much better. So he has had a couple of versions of like a couple of rounds of scans. So he had his big surgery in February. So he finished chemo in January, the very beginning of January. He had this huge surgery in February that was like way more intense than we expected. He was like, he had all of his lymph nodes and his whole like abdominal cavity taken out. So basically they have to open the whole center of your body and like find all of those lymph nodes and take them out. So it's pretty like intense. And it took him like, I want to say a couple of months to like really be like up and moving again. And so that was all really rough, but that was over by like April, you know, April, May, he was starting to feel better again. And he hasn't totally regained like all of his energy. And like, he's frustrated because he's like a strong, like a naturally kind of strong person. And he's like, I don't feel like I could do the things that I used to be able to do. And I'm like, you know, you'll be able to get it back. Like chemo and a surgery like that will like just wipe you out. So yeah, but he's had a couple of scans since then and everything's been coming back all clear. And he also has gotten blood work that said that his like immune system is back up. So I think that, you know, we're more concerned with like COVID now than like for a long time he was really immunosuppressed.
Oh, well, I meant like COVID, you know, in regards to like, you know, he's immunocompromised. Like, I didn't know if y'all were, had to be extra
cautious. Yeah, he was for a long time.
Yeah,
we were. And then now I think it's a little bit better because he's not immunocompromised anymore. His doctors have said to him, because he had chemo-induced lung damage, which is like pretty normal for the type of chemo that he was on. They harden up around your lungs. And so they said that that'll go away. It's like reversible, but it takes 5 years. And so around 5 years to undo that damage. And so what they've said to him is that he's not immunocompromised anymore. He's not more likely to get COVID than the average person. But if he got it and he got it bad, it would be hard for him because he already has like lung damage. Okay. So, so that's kind of where we are. So we want immunizations, basically.
Yeah. And then give us some shots so we can fuck our friends again.
Be back. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. So like what sort of shifts did you find that like content wise or the types of topics you wanted to be covering? Like what was changing?
Well, I think that, you know, because our podcast is about like specifically about the industry. And so I think that, you know, we did.
Which industry is that, Jesse? No.
The sex industry. So sex workers, porn performers. So I think that the for a lot of people, you know, we just put out today or last night a live panel that we did on self-care. So there's been more emphasis, I think, on like work-life balance, because a lot of things that we were hearing over and over again from the people that we were interviewing for the podcast is that when they're working at home and there isn't any other place to go, that what a lot of like content creators were facing was the fact that like they were just diving into like workaholism because there was nothing else to do. So when you can't go out with your friends and when you can't go out to dinner and when you're just stuck in your house, but when you talk to your clients and do Skype shows and do phone calls and create content all from your house, it's just like there is no separation. And so a lot of performers were dealing with a lot of burnout, and
which
was
already an issue before, right? Like that was already something to be concerned about,
right? But then like to just not have any way to like get out of that headspace, I think has been hard. A lot of people have been dealing with isolation because there's you know, there's just not any way to get like outside of the work that you're doing. And I think that for a lot of people too, their clients were often like dumping more intense, like emotional stuff on them because a lot of people are, you know, getting laid off from their jobs or have had sick family members or have, you know, had people who've passed away because of COVID. And so I think that like the, you know, it was interesting in a show we just did, we just had Jet Setting Jasmine on and she was talking about the fact that like sex workers are often like first responders for mental health issues. And I think that that is like really true that, you know, sex workers are always like, you can always find a cam girl or a phone sex operator or like,
yeah, who will talk to you for $5 a minute and you have someone who will listen.
Yeah. And you can't find
with
like
their top
a therapist. Yeah, all, you know, you can, yeah, there's no shortage of like sex workers who, or you could go on cam and you can talk to somebody. And so I think that like trying to figure out like how to serve the needs too of like our own population and not just our clients in order to not like burn out, that's been a topic that's been like coming up over and over again. I think that, so I think there's been that. I think there's like at the beginning, and this is kind of changing now, I think there was a ton of people who were doing more in-person services that were moving into the online space. And so trying to figure out like how to, a lot of people, and we talked to several people for our show and for some of the writing that I did, we're dealing with like that transition and how to make that transition. And at the same time, like culturally, OnlyFans was blowing up. And so for me personally, like I did so many press interviews because suddenly there was so much spotlight on like sex workers and what sex workers were doing and what sex workers were doing with the pandemic and how we were all surviving. And so I think that, a lot of the conversation moved from just like, how are we doing our jobs and what's the best way to do that? Or what's the best way to market? Or what do we like about our jobs? To like, now sex workers are facing like a whole nother set of, a whole new set of like crises. And how are we all like going to try to help each other get through that? I think is, and it was really different for very different people. And I think that was really interesting too. And not surprising that, you know, more marginalized people were hit harder, more marginalized sex workers were hit harder by the pandemic than other ones. So yeah, I mean, I think it's changed a lot of things.
And have you been, did you experience some burnout, a little too much sex work for you at any given time?
You know, I think that I'm really lucky because I've set up this kind of like diversified career. So, I mean, I think I'm a bit of a workaholic anyway, so that's always the case. But I think I'm kind of lucky because when I burn out of like client interactions, then I'll make some content. And when I burn out of that and don't have any ideas, then I'll write an article. And when I burn out of writing, then I'll edit my podcast, you know. Mm-hmm. So I have... everything is like coherent and it's all like together under one brand, but I think that they're very different sorts of things. So podcast editing and interviewing is different than writing, is different than like content creation, is different than like one-on-one client interaction.
You can jump around like, to a lot of things and all those things do happen to make you money, but you don't have to, you know, focus on any one for too long if you don't wanna.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've often thought, you know, if I just gave up the podcast and gave up writing, I'd make more money because those make less money than like sex work, you know? So I should just do like straight sex work and then I'll be like in a better financial position. And that's true, except that like I can't really do that as the person that I am. Like, I like doing all of the other things and it makes it more interesting to me and it keeps me like engaged. So my, I think my sex work output, or I don't know how you want to say this, like I don't really like to put this in terms like that, but is lower than a lot of than it would be, but I get to do a lot of like varied things. And PJ's like, you know, you could just like chill, you don't have to like take a break from work with other work. Sure. Yeah, but you know.
but do you chill? Do you need to get like a non-work break time? Does PJ really have to kind of put the foot down and be like, you need to go have a bath? You know, does it really calm you?
He's like, I think I have a, wow, I'm all kinds of confessionals today. I think I have a work problem. Mm-hmm. I think I work too much. And
you
I
did
think
just
that,
say that you take a break from work by doing other work. So
I know. Just, yeah.
It does sound like it.
Yeah. And he'll like point out to me that I just like, if I have any free time, I'll just like pile it up with more stuff that I need to do. And so it's hard for me. I think that I could use like a hobby. Like I should probably get a hobby. And then it would be something that I would do that's not like framed under work. But like, I don't think I really know how to do that. You know, I started having kids when I was really young and this is like how I tell myself the story. I started having kids when I was really young. And so as such, like I didn't have that much time to work. I was like, okay, I gotta like get my work in while the kids are sleeping or while they're doing this. And then the other part of the time I was like parenting or taking care of my like responsibilities at home. And so it just meant that, like, I didn't develop a lot. I like was concerned about making sure that I kept a career running. So I was always like, do work when you can, do work when you can, do work when you can. And then, you know, you do that for like 18 years and then suddenly you're like, wait, but now I know how to work and be a mom. And that's like what I do.
I mean, if you want a tip, I already knit, but I've discovered there is a form of knitting where it's really, really, really thick yarn. And you like make like a blanket to have those huge holes in them because you knit using your forearms as the needles. And I really want to try that.
Oh, that's interesting.
I really want to try that.
Yeah.
I would recommend that. It looks fun. it looks consuming. And I was like, that would be peaceful.
I mean, I'm also lucky because what I do for work is like really engaging and interesting to me. And so it's what I like to do, you know? And so, and I'm also a writer and I like to write and it's how I like process my own thoughts and feelings. And I think that, the things that a lot of people feel like are hobbies, like I turn into jobs, like sex, you know, like that.
is there a tip that you were giving I forgot if you said it was a panel, if it was an article about burnout during COVID and doing online sex work. Is there a tip that you've been giving out that you probably should be taking more on yourself?
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the things that I should really do that was brought up is that we shouldn't like think of taking care of ourselves as a reward for doing work. Like we shouldn't be like, oh, well, if I can get all my stuff done, then I'll like take a shower and put on my makeup or then I'll work out or then I'll like go and do the things that will like make me feel together is like we should actually take care of ourselves and then like we'll have like the space and the energy to be able to do what we want to do. And I think that I need to be better about like doing that. I think, you know, especially in quarantine, especially since I don't go anywhere, I think that I'll wake up and I'll just be like, okay, I'm going to make some coffee and then I'm just going to start some stuff. And then I'll do that. I'll either be like editing a podcast or working on an article or interviewing people or doing whatever. And then do that until I just am done for the day and I'm really tired. And then maybe I'll watch an episode of TV with PJ and then I'll be asleep, you know, and then I'll get up the next day and do the same thing. And if I could instead wake up and like have a plan and think like, okay, I'm going to do these things first and then I'll get to what I need to be doing. You know, maybe I'd have more balance.
Yeah, it's.
I don't know. What about you? Do you have like a routine?
I don't have a routine, but I just try to. I'm trying to. Quarantine's been making it harder and weirder, but I just try to find like pockets of joy, even if it's something as dumb as like I could drive my car to Staples to print out the Patreon thank you letters, but it will be more fun if I rent the Revel scooter and I scoot to Staples to print it, right? Like that to me, I mean, until it got really cold out, that to me was like my little brief mental health time was like, oh, yeah. I want to go to Chipotle and I'm going to scoot there instead of drive or order on Uber Eats. I like the scoot. And then that's like a 15-minute scoot each way. And now I've got like a half hour being outside on a Vespa, pretending I'm in Italy and eating, dumb fast food.
Yeah.
It's fun. Things like that. I started doing yoga during quarantine, and that's been nice. Or like taking on side baby projects. Like my girlfriend wanted a bralette for Christmas. She found a pattern and I knit and she knows that. So I made that for her. And like that was something I could just do. So I don't have like a routine of like my self-care. But I try to just make sure I'm doing something in a day that's not weed, that is self-care. And I would say that was a little too much self-care. I think the one I do love doing is a bath with a book. That's why I've gone through so many books, is like a half hour to an hour at a time. I'm in a tub and I'm reading something that engages me.
You put your phone like down? Because I think that's part of my problem too. I'm like too engaged on Twitter and I don't need to know everything that's going on Twitter. I just don't. I do know everything that's going on, but I don't need that in my life.
if I'm in the tub, I got to keep it out of arm's reach, but so I can see the screen. So that way, it's like I can see a screen. I'm like, if it's a green, I probably should check it. But really, there's no other color notification that I have to check right then and there that I have to get out of the tub to go do. And it's been letting me tap in the books more and also have that, you know, that solo time. And that's all been helpful. It's when you were describing doing the human stuff, not as a reward to yourself, right? It was like, you have to, it's not that, oh, I'll reward myself by doing X and Y and Z after I do the work. It's like, no, you have to do it so you can do the work. It reminded me of when, you know, when I read stuff about like disordered eating, they'll go like, No. You have to eat the food because food is fuel for your body to do things. So you can't do things if you don't eat. Therefore, Billy, eat shit and don't feel guilty about it. And like, it felt like a similar vibe to that. Like, it's not like, oh, you should do some self-care. It's like, you have to do it. Otherwise, like, you'll go mad, especially if you're locked in a fucking house all day.
So I mean, I think those are things that have been like hard, but in terms of, so it's a lot of psychological stuff because in terms of like my job, like I used to work at home and now I work at home, you know, like there's so many things that are the same, but it also feels different to like not be able to go have dinner with PJ and have a conversation outside of our house and like the little breaks that like break up your day. And, you know, to not be able to have that, you have to kind of be more intentional about what you're doing, I think.
And how have you been as a very loud, powerful member of the sex worker community? How have you been seeing that community handle quarantine?
Because
it's been a time for so many reasons.
It has been a time for so many reasons. It's been really hard. I mean, and it didn't get any better when Visa MasterCard pulled out of Pornhub. That was a huge blow to the community. And, you know, dealing with, you know, issue after issue of like how we're going to continue to like sustain ourselves in this industry while there's so many things working against us. I think that that's been hard. There's always been, you know, there's always been a lot of fragmentation within the sex work community. And I feel like there's, I always want there to be like, and this I think is something that like I really strive for at Peep Show and that PJ and I have been pretty intentional about trying to create is like to move beyond like those sort of like artificial boundaries between these type of sex workers and these type of sex workers and these type of sex workers, because I think those are artificial boundaries. I think that they're very fluid and porous and people move in and out of different types of work regardless of what they're like advertising as what, you know, as their brand or their persona. And I think that, you know, and I think that we all need each other. I mean, there's sex workers need to stand up for other sex workers and for each other. And one of the things that I have seen has been like a lot of support for people who've been, who are struggling in different ways. I mean, there's kind of a joke that like the same $20 keeps getting like cash-apped around in circles, you know, but I think it has, you know, and there's been, I've seen that.
The mutual aid and, stuff like really seems to have risen and been like super shared during this time more than I'm used to seeing. It used to be a GoFundMe every once in a while, but now it's like regularly and in good ways, just like either here's a really specific person who's, you know, was an in-person, who was like an escort and is really struggling, or, you know, here's a mutual aid fund for like all the sex workers in Detroit or, you know, wherever. That's been pretty cool to see.
I think that's been cool too. And I think that there has been efforts to kind of reach across the divides and try to, you know, hold up the people in our community. And so I think that that's been good. And I've also seen though that people are like really struggling. And I think a lot of people come into sex work because they have, because conventional employment is like not accessible to them for whatever reason, you know, and a lot of those have to do with like disabilities or mental health issues or caretaking responsibilities. You know, the flexibility of sex work opens up space for a lot of people and who are marginalized in other ways. And I think that the pandemic like is disproportionately impacting people who are more marginalized. So I think that and a lot of sex workers are falling into those like categories. So I think a lot of people are struggling, but I feel like there's an effort kind of across the board to try to like keep everyone going as much as they can, you know. And I feel like we've gotten a lot of support for our Peep Show efforts and projects from other people within the community. Like all of our advertisers, for example, are like people who are working in like porn or other parts of the sex work industry. And I think that and, you know, they're advertising with us because they want to see sex worker stories coming out of like from sex workers themselves. And so I don't know. I think that there's been a lot of creativity. I've seen a lot of people try to figure out like how to make things work for themselves, like online. I've seen a lot of people try to reconceptualize how they're going to shoot content, for example, or reconceptualize like how they're going to interact with their clients if they don't want to do in-person services, or how they're going to collaborate with other people. So like I've done a couple of shoots with other models that were like Zoom shoots, you know, where we like did things together, like mutual masturbation stuff or JOIs or things like that. And so I think that that's been fun to see like people kind of stepping out of their like regular routines and trying to figure out both how to collaborate with other people and how to show other sex workers support, and then also how to keep their businesses running at a time when everything is upside down.
Yeah, and it's kind of like they're trying to figure out how to adjust to the internet the same way a lot of stand-ups are trying to figure out how to do a TikTok now. Because they're just like, apparently that's where you have to do stand-up, is if you're not on a Zoom show, you post yourself doing a stand-up joke on TikTok. Yeah. Have you seen any particular like creativity with the internet and creating adult content that's stood out to you? Anything where you were like, oh, that's a really fun idea?
Well, Small Hands and Joanna Angel did this like cool spooky thing that they did in their house for a whole movie. Actually, I think it was a series where they created in their house like a whole spooky scene and created like this whole movie, just the two of them in their house. And so that was kind of cool. I mean, one of our porn reviewer on Peep Show reviewed that. So I think that was neat.
Jesse, before I get to plugs, let me ask, do you have like an extra 10-15 minutes to do a little like bonus episode?
Sure.
Well, Jesse, thank you so much for making some time to chat with us. Where can people find you and all the work that you're doing, despite us trying to tell you to take a bath? And just like take some time for yourself, light a candle.
Let's see. I am on Twitter at Sapiotextual. I am on OnlyFans at Sapiotextual. I am on Instagram is curvaceous_sage. I have a mini vids and a night flirt and a sex panther and a verified call and all sorts of things. And I'm pretty easy to find. You can actually find all my links on my Twitter. That's probably the easiest place. And our website is peepshowmedia.com. And that's where you can find our podcast and also our porn reviews and our news and stories.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, Jesse, thanks again. And why don't you go ahead and say goodbye to everybody?
All right. Bye.
Jesse is just oh so fun. I remember when we recorded that segment last year when I was on my road trip. I mean, we still stayed up for another hour or two drinking whiskey and just gabbing. She is so fantastic. Definitely check out her podcast and all that they're offering over at Peep Show Media. And if you want some more with me and Jesse Sage, we discussed a bit more on the OnlyFans gold rush that's been going on during the core. And you can gain access to that bonus episode as well as over 200 other bonus episodes when you go to patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. That's Patreon, patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. Now, did something like stand out to you? Like, did you just like connect with something super hard while listening to this show? Then go connect with other listeners in our Discord server, The Champagne Room. There will be an entire channel dedicated to episode 366 over there. We can share all your comments, your questions, your queries, your reactions, your criticisms. And of course, if you want to send it to me a little bit more directly, you can always email me all things at manwhorepod@gmail.com. And if you want to, you know, I don't want to say support me. Let's just say if you want to get to know me on more of a hoish level, go follow my free OnlyFans. It's free. What are you doing? Just want to go see some thirst traps? You want to see me be cute? Want to see me post some outlandish things I couldn't even post on Twitter? OnlyFans is the place to go. And you can do that at OnlyFans.com/callmebilly. I do think it was very interesting this morning on Fox News. I saw a guy saying something along the lines of, you know, it's just never good to censor people. We shouldn't censor these right wing terrorists because then it just forces them to go underground where they can foment and real darkness and seediness can happen. So we shouldn't ban them from social media platforms. And I thought to myself, oh, Chuck, wow, that's very poignant. That's a really interesting thought. It just sounds so familiar. It's almost as if it's what I kept hearing sex workers say after Sesta Fosta about how it doesn't help sex trafficking victims. It only pushes the illegal sex trade underground. So we shouldn't ban consensual sex workers from social media platforms. Nah, that could never work. Keep your eyes open for the bullshit, everybody, and stay slutty.